Wouldn't that be nice if you did see God in everyone? Perhaps better put, what is preventing us from seeing God in everyone? It's a basic notion in our philosophy that everything in the world is an expression of God mind. And so surely there must be that of God in all things, especially you and you and you and me. In her treatment this morning, Reverend Tricia used an expression which we can easily overlook and take for granted. And that expression is perfect, whole, and complete. I'm perfect, whole, and complete. Isn't that special? Or as I used to like to say, I get that you're perfect, whole, and complete, but the rest of you is really irritating me. What is it in you that is perfect, whole, and complete? Because there is something that is. When you were born, there's nobody that would look at a newborn infant and say, what a loser. We are in awe. And it is so evident that life is expressing perfectly after its own nature. And that this infant of any kind, a little puppy or a kitten, it is so obvious that there is nothing wrong and there is nothing lacking in this new life. And the truth is, truth with a capital T, the truth is that never changes. But we allow ourselves to think other things or to take on other identities, to wear certain masks, if you will. We're talking about this in our shadow class on Wednesday nights. That, oh, I cannot be perfect. There's nothing perfect about me. So I won't even make an effort to acknowledge that, let alone exercise what might be my perfection, what might be part of my wholeness in this world. I'll just be who you need me to be, and it'll all be easier. I'll get what I want, you get what you want, nobody gets hurt. Except we find when we have lived a whole life far from our true nature, we've missed this opportunity to be something. We can see right now in the world that we live in that there is so much that's going on which is so hard, violent, and unacceptable. Is it any worse or any better than it ever was? I don't know. We just know about it more. But so much of the conflict that we are seeing and experiencing in this world is based on this notion that I'm okay, but you're not. That what I think is true is really true, and what you think is bad. And therefore, I will demonize you. Therefore, I will depersonalize you. Therefore, I will kill you. The first time I remember reading this definition of culture, there was a book, one of the first New Age books that came out. It was called Ishmael, about a gorilla. Did anybody read that book? And a gorilla knew, yes, the truth, and was making an attempt to give basic truth teachings to this human being. And in that book, one of the teachings of Ishmael was is that a culture is a group of people acting as if their story is true. And by implication then, if my story is true, your story is false. My story is that there's only one true Holy Catholic Church or whatever. Or that my story is that we are the chosen people. Or my story is that God is great. And whatever your story is wrong and it must be eliminated, like a virus. There is something in a primitive aspect of our brain that continues to insist that other people are a threat to us. And they are not. Other people, all people everywhere are part of the same family. Even racism is a made-up mask. There's only one race, the human race. That's it for human beings. Whatever the variations are, there are variations, big deal. Or there's something in us we simply don't want to accept that. Where does it come from? I don't know. Some say that all problems are the result of fear of future loss. That things are okay right now, but there might not be enough tomorrow. And that has us living in a future rather than in the present where things are actually okay. You know, if this very minute, this very second at 10:20 in the morning could go on forever and ever and ever, things would be fine. The way you feel right now. But there are things that pull us out of the present into the future. I heard this remarkable thing on public radio this week, that every sign you see takes you out of the present and into a future which is never going to happen. And I remember thinking, like, every sign, like a fiery cross in the heavens, or what kind of sign? No, like when I was coming home yesterday, every sign I see takes me out of the present. I'm driving down beautiful La Brea Boulevard. I see Pink's hot dog. Oh, Pink's. I should go have a Pink hot dog because I haven't had one in 5 years. And maybe next week, no, not next week, maybe next month, or maybe I should do, but I will do that in the future. Oh, there's Aaron Brothers Art Mart. Oh, I should stop there sometime. This is the non-stop conversation. Trader Joe's, do I need to go to Trader Joe's? No, I don't think so, but it would be nice to have some of those chips with the flax seeds in them. They are so good. Or the potato chips with the cheddar and horseradish. Has anybody had those? God loves us and wants us to be happy. Oh my God, those are so flavorful. But yeah, so maybe I should go stop at Trader Joe's before I go home this afternoon. I'm not remotely in the present moment. And I realized that's the liberation I feel when I get to go on retreat, for example, when I choose to go to these Benedictine monasteries. There is no signage anywhere in nature. I know that Bunny has a nature practice and she hikes almost every morning. There is no signage in nature. There's only indication of now. What is in flower now? It's not easy being a responsible grown-up. There are so many things that tug at our awareness, that scream for our attention. So much information that's being hurled at us all the time. And it has so little to do with anything that any of us need or want. As dedicated as I am to public television, You know, well, I just told a story about NPR, so maybe I need to revise this. But put it this way. As dedicated as I am to Antiques Roadshow, and how many episodes I watch of that under the name of education, it's never told me anything I need to know or anything I can use. You know, I've learned more about authentic 18th century Wedgwood than I could use in a lifetime, but I'm not a pottery dealer. What do I need to know this for? None of this helps me be a better preacher or a better teacher. And that's what I really want to be. All masks aside and all fears aside, what I want is probably what you want. I won't make you want it. But I want to feel and somehow embody this basic idea that I am born perfect, whole, complete within myself, and lacking nothing. Dr. Walker dedicated so much of his teaching life to this basic idea that you are enough, and that there is no thing of an inferior nature that really can attach itself to us to make us anything less than enough, and indeed not merely just enough, but perfect. Perfect for the purpose that you are here for. Whole. Complete. And lacking no attribute that you need to be what? To be a human being on this planet. To walk in peace and in beauty. To be in alignment with some idea that makes you happy, that makes you want to get out of bed in the morning and show up here at this center. To hear an encouraging word so that you might be less burdened by the events of the week or your life and re-encouraged all over again. To remember, yes, not only is life worth it, I am worth it. Me being in life is worth it. Indeed, it's a gift. To remember at depth that you are not born in original sin, but you are an original blessing. We were talking in class last Wednesday night about original sin, and you know, at this point in my life, I kind of have the feeling there's no such thing as original sin. I mean, somebody's done it before, and they've probably done it way creepier or way more expensive beyond my ability to imagine. It's not very original, after all. But how we are original is in our uniqueness, is in our blessing, is in our gift. And your gift is your beauty. And it begs to be conspicuous in the world in the best possible way, not for purposes of vanity, but conspicuous like red is to a hummingbird. That when a hummingbird sees red of any kind, it goes towards it completely defenseless, knowing that this is for me. And I ought to have it. And whatever it is that is red, if it's hibiscus or whatever, that it is happy to give its redness away and to welcome the hummingbird into intimate relationship with it. Because without having a conscious, fearful, defensive mind, what nature knows is that indeed all things work together for health and vitality. So here's the gentle reminder. I want to wrap this up. I don't want to talk too much about it. But if it is true that you are, it's just perfect. If that's impossible for you to embrace, the only thing you have to do is to ask yourself, well, what's my deflect? Why am I deflecting that? Well, I'm not perfect because, I'm not Taylor Swift, or I'm not perfect. See, 40 years ago we would have said Liza Minnelli, but now that would be funny, you know. Times change. Don't compare yourself to anything or anybody, because you're not them and you can't be them. You're you. All comparisons aside, what is it of you that is perfect? Your desire to be peaceful, be happy, be constructive, and be creative. This is perfect self-expression. And whole. What about you is not whole? Whatever, who laid it on any of us that we are not all we need to be? And complete. How can you not be complete to be you? You are, because there is that of you that is eternal. That thing that came in through the vehicle of an infant is still the you that matters most. I think the language we have in science of mind is far too clinical. I prefer to be a little old school and call it soul. I understand that word. My soul is the thing that is perfect forever, that knows no fear. My soul is the creative life principle itself, that is the extension and attenuation of God mind. My soul magnifies the Lord. That's who you are. That's who you are. Problems aside, comparisons aside, worry aside, fear of future loss aside. Whatever burden you're carrying, put it down. Make the effort to find yourself in the present moment. And not only enough, not only adequate to your needs and to the moment, but just the perfect ingredient for making the moment matter for you and for everyone else in your life. This is a noble practice. And without this feeling, nothing else matters. There's no attainment that matters. Without that feeling, nothing else matters. But with that feeling, you don't need anything else. Practice it this week. Your weekly homework is that whenever you get that knee-jerk reaction of I'm not enough, I'm not perfect, I'm not this, I'm not that, just ask yourself, who told you that? Who told you that? And then if you cannot come up with an answer, say thanks for sharing and move on. You'll enjoy this week if you do that, I promise you. You'll discover something wonderful about yourself that I already know. God bless you, friends.